Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center and renowned nutrition and fitness expert, and Michelle King Robeson, founder of EmpowHer.com and leading women's advocate. Cut through the confusion and share the naked bottom line truth about all things woman. It's Her Radio.
Michelle, how many times have you and I talked about the whole issue of obesity, right? Like what causes it and right. all the factors and elements. It's just such a flippin' complex problem, and we're all searching for answers. So there's a book, and it's one that you and I just love. It's a brand new book called The Dorito Effect. Put those Doritos down. The Dorito Effect, The Surprising New Truth About Food and Flavor. And the author is Mark Schatzker. And I just think this is a fabulous book. He's an award-winning writer based in Toronto, radio columnist for the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, frequent contributor to The Globe and Mail and Condé Nast Traveler and blah, blah, blah. He's just a really cool guy and incredibly smart and with a fabulous book. So, Mark, welcome to Her Radio. We just can't wait to talk about this subject, which is all things flavor and how flavor actually may explain a huge reason why people are becoming obese. So, Mark, help us. Start describing what you think is the problem.
Well, very simply, we have a problem. Obesity has been growing. Everything we do to try and fight it has been ineffective. We've declared war on various nutrients for the last 30 or 40 years. We declared a big war on fat, which we can all remember. Then carbs became our enemy. Lately, we've been talking about sugar. It's not working. Obesity gets worse and worse. It is now the number one preventable cause of disease and the number two preventable cause of death. So it's a big problem. The one thing we never talk, in North Americans, we are all Puritans, we never talk about flavor, we never talk about pleasure and deliciousness, because we know that's the problem, right? We gotta stop eating, and if food wasn't so darn tasty, we wouldn't eat so much of it. This is the idea that I challenge in the Dorito Effect. I argue in the book that everything that's wrong with food can be better understood through flavor, through the way it tastes. We have to start understanding food the same way we experience food, which is the way it tastes.
So why did you decide to write this book?
Because I thought there was so much we were getting wrong. People talk about the overabundance of highly palatable foods. They talk about things like Big Macs, potato chips, soft drinks. I'm a food writer. I'm a food lover. I understand why some people think these foods are palatable, delicious, let's say, but I think anyone who takes food very seriously doesn't really think of these things as the epitome of, you know, gustatory joy. We sort of see them as cheap thrills, and I think they really are cheap thrills. If you look at flavor, flavor is what's really changed about our food system, and very simply it comes down to this. Since about the 1950s, we've had the ability to knock off the flavors of foods. Before that, we didn't know what made an orange taste like an orange. Now we do. As soon as we figured out what these compounds were, we began manufacturing them in factories and adding them to everything. That's why I called the book The Dorito Effect, because the very first Dorito was just a salted tortilla chip, just like the kind you dip in salsa, and that's what people did with it. It didn't sell all that well. It wasn't until they added the flavorings. They made the first flavored Dorito taste like a taco. The next one was nacho cheese, and it was these flavorings that made them so irresistible. That is what made the Dorito such a success, and we're adding that stuff to everything. But it doesn't end there. The other way that flavor explains what happened to food is that the whole foods that we grow, the tomatoes, the strawberries, the chicken, the foods we should be eating, that we've been telling ourselves for decades we need to eat these foods, they're getting blander and blander. So if you forget all the nutrition stuff for a moment and just look at deliciousness, deliciousness migrated from the produce aisle and the meat counter to the junk food aisle. Is it any wonder people are eating what they're eating? We are wired for deliciousness, and we changed deliciousness, and that's how we changed what we eat.
Whoa, and there are 605 million pounds of flavoring that Americans eat every year, and this is obviously the flavoring that's used as an additive. My question to you then is, you know, if this has really happened, which I think the grand majority of us would agree, right? Is it the flavoring that's so addictive? Is it all of this stuff? Because you said that this deliciousness, as it were, this reward and pleasure has now moved into those aisles with the big bags and the boxes with all of the additives. So what is it that's making it so difficult for people? Is there truly sort of an addictive quality to this flavoring stuff?
There is absolutely an addictive quality. Food addiction, it is believed that a BMI of 40 or over, or you know, they refer to this, the you know, Center for Disease Control, as the extremely obese, is consistent with food addiction, which is to say a kind of a ruinous cycle of eating, of binging, regret, food getting in the way of work, food getting in the way of relationships. So it can be a really serious problem. But I think what's even more interesting to consider is that there's aspects of addiction that many people who with a BMI far less than 40 experience, which is to say cravings. When you look at the neuroscience of food addiction, the difference between food addicts and healthy eaters is not that the food addicts like food more, it's that they crave food more. They sit around dreaming of it, wanting it. You know, they have no power against these cravings, and yet when they eat food, it doesn't taste nearly as good as the thought of the food. So they keep eating and eating, and they can never really fill that hole. So there's absolutely an addictive quality, but the more interesting question is, how do we get there? And the question we have never asked, which we need to ask, is why does food have flavor in the first place? We always thought it was no big deal to make a soft drink taste like orange, to make candy taste like orange, ice cream artificially flavored like an orange. But when you look at why food has flavor, it's there for a really important reason, and that is that flavor is the language of nutrition. There's a great paper in the journal Science, which is one of the most prestigious scientific journals, which found that the flavors humans most like in a tomato are all inextricably linked to the essential nutrients. So that system, that flavor system of people wandering around craving certain foods, worked really well for thousands and thousands of years. We did a great job of meeting our nutritional needs long before we had any idea what a vitamin was or a mineral. But it's when we achieve the ability to take these flavors, knock them off in a lab, produce them in a factory, and then now we can add tomato flavoring to a pizza sauce, to a ketchup-flavored potato chip. Let's look at that potato chip in particular. When you take a potato chip and give it that ketchup flavor and you add that tomato flavor, you're giving it this artificial sheen of nutrition. When you eat it, your body thinks, ooh, this is great. I'm getting all those nutrients in a tomato. But what is your stomach getting? It's not getting those. It's not getting the fiber,
okay.
Antioxidants.
So Mark, okay, in Mark, very briefly then, what should someone do out there? What's your answer?
They should be aware that we got to think more about flavor. So look at the ingredient panel. If you see the words artificial or natural flavors, and natural flavors are not natural, they are created in a lab, produced in factories, be wary of those foods. Those foods were designed to seem delicious. But also, let's start buying better whole foods. Visit farmers markets, go to supermarkets that sell tomatoes that actually taste like tomatoes and strawberries that actually taste like strawberries.
I love that.
I agree.
I mean, run away from all of the additives, the preservatives, the rest of it, because you're right. They're messing with our ability to be able to grab onto the whole produce that actually works for us. I think this is fabulous. Everyone, we've been talking with Mark Shasker, who has written a fabulous book. It's a real game changer. It's called The Dorito Effect, The Surprising New Truth About Food and Flavor. His website is markshasker.com. Run out and grab this book because it's going to help you understand why the produce aisle, I mean the real produce aisle in farmers markets, is where it's at. Thank you so much, Mark, for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
Flavor chemicals are so potent that just a few ounces enough to flavor Niagara Falls for over an hour. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.